falta errar. Si fuese sacar tomorrow morning. Yeah. So that's not sleeping, it's busy, working. I think we can assume that you know the challenge with the break, after the break you find the house is cleaner now than it was, but people have requested to leave. We have been joined by our colleague who's going to tell us why are we having 102 billion budget for consultants. All of the things, compliments of the year and welcome. You came alone, it's not complete, I thought we were coming together. It is fine. Well, thank you very much. But no, we got your apology. Our panel was here in the morning. Well, we raised questions earlier. It has been off. I'm sure we are in your hands now for response. I don't know if you find our members. Okay. Shall we take responses to it?
Thank you very much. There was a question about the discrepancy of the budget. The CFO will deal with that just now. There was also a question about our community development program, whether it is the one that is done by COGDA or this is something different. The answer is that this is the NYDA program. This is where we send mainly our rural development workers to go and work with community to establish what problems the community can engage itself, particularly young people in the community. And yes, we are not using the consultants for that. We have young people that are employed, we have development practitioners that are employed by the NYDA that are working in relation to the project. Where do we take the sponsorship? We take sponsorship to the people who apply to the NYDA. And they give us a project proposal, they ask for money, we start engaging with them, and eventually they get to get sponsors for that. There is a sponsorship committee that sits and considers these applications. We don't invite applications. We are weighing applications because that has been the tradition and the norm over the years. We have been receiving these applications. And so that's how we handle this matter. But there's a committee that looks after that particular thing. I don't think for us it would be a problem to take it anyway, including Kabazimbi, Kabatuewu, and anyway in the rural area, so long as young people come with a project that is speaking to the mandate of the NYDA and it's helping the community where they work and helping them as young people. And examples have been given that there is a group of young people in Cape Town in the informal settlements in Soweto that came to us and they presented their case. And when we went there to do an assessment in that facility, you could see that these young people are very serious into it. And you had to consider that application. A group of graduates at the Vets University, Pretoria University, started what is called HAY, the Hillgrow Enterprise Initiative. And they train the homeless young people in entrepreneurship, and they help them establish cooperatives that will run their businesses. And they came to the NYDA seeking sponsorship on that, and we responded to that. So sponsorships, in a nutshell, will respond to the requests that are coming through to us Millennium Development Goals Summit, the youth that took place here in Cape Town. They also wrote to us, engaged with us for quite some time, convinced us that it's a project to invest in, and we also supported it. So I'm just sending a message that says, sponsorship will respond to those who are applying. And the chair, the purpose of these presentations that we have given was to try and prove to the members of parliament to say this is the work that we are doing, and here are a few projects that can be used as litmus test. But we have not dealt with the item that speaks to the performance of the NYPA from year one to date. There are details, for example, for last year alone, your packages. You have the annual performance report. And perhaps we need to remind each other of a few important things in leadership as such. The check and the balance within as far as the NYPA is concerned as a business entity are not done by the NYPA on its own. I will make a claim as a CEO and say, I have sold 16 apples this year. And I will be required to submit those claims I am making to the Auditor General. The Auditor General will look into that information, test the correctness, the accuracy, the truthfulness of this information that I'm providing. He will then declare whether that information is acceptable according to his standards or not. We have had this experience when we took over in 2009, we submitted information which eerily went through, and in 2010 things began to change. The Auditor General, when we say to him we have created 16,000 jobs in that year, the Auditor General will say, can I see the employment letters, can I see the contracts, can I see their salaries being paid? And we had to go to those lengths to prove to him that indeed this that we're claiming is something that is existing. And over the years, the last 3 years, we have also learned not to speak about numbers, figures that we have achieved that are not being verified. We always wait for the AG to release an audit report before we even speak. So in a nutshell, what we present before the committee in all instances, for all intents and purposes, we report to you factual figures that have been. We're not trying to paint a picture for you. But it is within your prerogative, in your responsibilities to take it further and go and test this thing. That's one thing that we want to caution against. The NYPA, because of the factors that have already been discussed so far, first, spreading ourselves too thin, there are say 20,000 young people who want to go to university and you are only able to assist about, what's that number, 134. Now, the rest, the 19,000 and something that is disappointed, is most likely to make the lab this moist to express how disappointed they are on the NYPA. And you are not likely to hear from the 134. This is the experience I've had in the last few years. But what it does not mean is that I have not done my part. What it means is that I have not been able to reach to the majority of these young people that are in need. So sometimes it sounds a bit unfair to us when we are being painted as if we know we are sitting there and we are not doing anything, when we know for sure that the work that we are doing, and year in, year out, this work gets to be evaluated and the positive feedback comes out of it. We are not disputing, we've always agreed and we want to continue doing that. The injection or the interventions that are given to the problems that are faced by young people are not enough. They are correct. That's what is needed. Because we talk about education and skills development, that's what young people need. But the problem is that we are training a drop. We talk about enterprise development, that's exactly what young people need. But the problem is that we are only training a draw. And the loans that are giving, they are correct, they are needed, they are within the mandate that is given in terms of the legislation, but the problem is that only a few benefit from that. And therefore, how do we ensure that we deal with this? And I'm saying, those that are disappointed are the ones that are speaking the loudest. So we need to be at least given some credit there for the work that we are doing. Of course, I have a few, for example, I've had complaints about the happenings and of the NYT. Perhaps before I go there, let me start by explaining what delegation the chairman spoke about means for us. Sometimes it's not delegation. In most instances, in fact, it's not delegation. It is reference, referral to the person that deals with that business. You come to the NYDA, you meet the CEO because you want a loan which is 100,000. The CEO gives you the hearing, but as you speak, he determines that no, this is actually not the matter that I deal with. This is the matter that the unit ED deals with. So I will refer you to ED and you go there. And the executive manager discovers that, yes, the matter that belongs here, but specifically that section in the unit deals with it. So it becomes more of reference rather than delegation. But we have also come to agree with you, Chairperson, on the issue of the attitude of some of the staff members that we have in the NYDA. And that is why we have begun late last year to retrain the staff of the NYDA in the branches and in the head office on the Batupili principle. It's because we had learned that, you know, sometimes this person calls in and they say they want this, you know you can't give them, you don't forget just to tell them that, to say, no, no, sorry. It's not resident here, it is somewhere else where you can get that. You need to go there and get that system. So because of that, we then started looking into customer relations, but really principle, retraining the staff for them to be conscious of what is basically supposed to be done. So yes, we agree with you in terms of some of the discrepancies. I must say that we have partnerships. And what we did today was not to give you the full scope of the partnerships that we have, but just to illustrate to you that here are some of the partnerships that we can move into. But to be direct, we do have a partnership with DTI as well, the Department of Trade and Industry. For example, what we are doing with them, how they now, is the formation of cooperatives that will go into franchising business with DTI. DTI gives them the grant, we help them pull together the cooperative, we train them in entrepreneurship development and move on. But there's quite a lot of these partnerships that are in place. Construction Fleet, and to say, I think in her presentation she spoke to us to say we are having partnership with CITES. And of course, Chairperson, when we say we have achieved the target or we are targeting to do that thing, in most instances, on some instances, it can be us that are directly doing those things. I want to give the example that we are working with on the volunteers on AFCOM. Currently, the NYDA has got volunteers that are working for AFCOM. These volunteers are trained by the NYDA, and then they get to be supervised by the NYDA and the, what is it, they get to administered by those. So, when we come tomorrow and say to you, we have had volunteers in the AFCON and there is 20,000, you must know that we would have started by the Auditor General to demonstrate to them, to say, these are the volunteers that we have, this is the proof, this is the evidence, and they will do the good thing. Before we come and tell Parliament those things, because once we tell Parliament, we are telling public, and if we are misleading public, it might be a problem for the organization. So I'm just trying to make you comfortable with the person that the information that we communicate becomes a reflect to us. All the branches that we have in the NYDA, especially the full service branches, as we speak, they deal with career guidance. As we speak. This year, particularly in February, we were very intense on that. We even had cinema shows. We went to outreach in the schools, even doing group career guidance and all those things, and they are also done at the branches themselves. So we are confident with regards to the information that we are providing.
How do we recruit volunteers?
We have a database, and the same spoke to it, that there are young people that are opportunity seekers, and it's unfortunate that the Honourable just left the questions that he asked. The job seekers that are in the database, we draw from those in the main. Because there are people who would have admitted their CV saying they are unemployed, they are graduates, they've got matric and they've not been employed for some time. And when we are looking for volunteers, we start there and then we move outside. We try and spread it geographically as much as possible, but it also must prove to be convenient for the project. For example, you can't go to a company and say Bafana will be playing there. I need volunteers to work there and go to the far north to fetch a volunteer who must then commute almost every day to go to the stadium. So some of the things we are limited in that we don't provide accommodation and other things. So we try and become realistic. So we'll go to the closer areas of the Umlaz and so on and so forth to ensure that you get those volunteers. But we try by all means, even in our reports, if you study our performance report, we have tried to disaggregate it by province to show where are the areas of drain and where are we actually doing well. Our construction program, our artisans program, most of them are doing them in partnership with the CETA. CETA is involved, they have spoken about CETA, ETDP CETA, there are many others that I might not remember immediately here, but are doing it in partnership with them. And indeed our construction training is an EPWP approach. It's labor intensive. But must emphasize that we find that 98 historically we never had a construction trainer or facilitator. So we will get a service provider to come and provide those services. An example is the new project that we are doing now in Escort at Umtsezi municipality in KwaZulu-Natal. It's a construction one in human settlement. Young people will be trained in building, masonry, plumbing, electricity and so on, and they will be building houses for the municipality. So it's in partnership with the province, the municipality and the MIDA. We have sourced in service providers to train them who have got an accreditation with the CETA. So as an outcome, the young people will be on the job. As an outcome, the young people will receive a qualification after the training that they can use to pursue further their artisan training program, because it doesn't take 3 months to become an artisan. It takes in the excess of 4 years. You might train for 1 year, but then you have to work for 4 years, accumulate experience, and then write your status and eventually become an artisan. So these are but a few examples that I thought I should be able to. As regards to the specific performance on the job seekers, what is that we have done, and specific performance on the bursaries that would have given, all of that, it's in this document that I have referred to. We have said in this financial year, so many bursaries are given, and residents to that. And we have said job seekers that have been placed, or opportunities have been sought for them, this is the number, and the evidence to that effect has been given. So with regards to performance, you can feel comfortable. So we are still going to speak to it, but we'll deal with that. But also, the other issue that comes up here is concerns around monitoring and evaluation. We take that matter seriously. As a matter of fact, the NIDA, monitoring and evaluation, we take that matter seriously. As a matter of fact, the NIDA has got a monitoring and evaluation unit that looks into the programs and projects of the NIDA. That is in a police and research unit. Very meticulous. That is why in most cases, year in, year out, the Auditor General never has issues with our performance information. Because before it lands by them, that information is killed. We check it on a quarterly basis. They monitor projects and programs throughout the years. But we also have a monitoring and evaluation function in the office of the CEO that looks generally at the strategic level, monitoring and evaluation of the organization of the National Youth Development Agency. So it's a task that we are taking quite seriously. We are busy, as I'm speaking to you, with a report for the 10-year review. Is it the 10-year review that we're doing with the Professor Finn? It's a 10-year review that we're doing for the country, The youth charter that we are dealing with, we'll look into all the work of the NYDA so that it can input into that process. We are doing it closely with the Department of Monitoring and the evaluation. Yeah. I think on this page I'm done. Partnerships, I've dealt with that. Yeah, we have partnerships with quite a number of development agencies, and some of them we are still pursuing. We have not given up. The very reason why we have a unit called Corporate Partnerships is because we believe that this project of youth development in South Africa can be attempted without sound partnerships. And that is why we've established this particular unit that helps us pursue partnerships with the private sector and the government department. And I think we're doing well in that regard. We're changing mindset year in, year out. We're engaging, for example, recently with BBSA on their youth job fund. We're sharing ideas with them on how we think this can actually work for the youth of South Africa. The special project, the KU can talk to it later, but the special project that is in the chair, deputy chair and the CEO, is not a discretionary fact. It can be. Those projects, as reported earlier on, are projects that would have been approved within the APP. They are subject to the normal processes. The discretionary fund, in terms of my local government experience, is the mayor will just decide what they want to do. That's not the case with this fund that we are sitting with. They've got to be subjected to this project, just that they are led from those offices. They are led to keep the offices busy, those projects are led from that point. Our implementation check of this youth development program is exactly what we are trying to present to you. We have started by giving you the parameters that are given to us in terms of the law and the expectations of the young people and how we arrived at the APA and how we have been faring in the past 3 years. That's what we are going to present in terms of the performance. We have got an APP currently, an annual performance plan, which is a draft for the next financial year. I think today, for just today, I would have distributed to with the current APP of what is the work of the NYDA. How it was cut up within the budgetary constraints. But I'm raising the one for the next financial year because I would love for us to engage and say, no, last year you were doing this or this year you are doing this. That's for next year. We would love for you not to do that, to rather try and do that so that we don't throw stones at each other. Instead, we are advising each other to say, this is how we think things can be done differently. Moving forward. It's something that we are very open to engage in. Unless the time does not really allow. Section 7 of the NYDA, in essence, puts a legal requirement on government departments to do work on youth development, but to also report on youth development. Currently, there is a total disregard of that law by departments that report to this parliament. And this is why, if you would have listened to the news in the last year before the departure of the former chair of the NYDA, he made a call of the amendment of this legislation such that CEO and what can be arrested. I think that's how bluntly he put it. He says, perhaps we need to make sure that this law allows the NYDA to arrest those who are not doing work on youth development. In essence, what he was trying to say is that that's how we put it, you know, that's how we put it. In essence, what he was trying to say was that there is a legal provision, but nobody is reading that legal provision, and it's non-compliant, if we may put it bluntly. Departments are not complying, even other entities are not complying. Even now, we are hoping that out of the status report, people will then see this agency as we are presenting to you the youth bias with the possibility of a youth dividend, I mean a demographic dividend. We are hoping that people will then see how serious this matter is. They learn lessons from Europe, see how Europe took advantage of the youth bias and develop itself to what it is today, how other countries took advantage of the same, and why South Africa must begin to invest in these young people and give them the opportunity, because they are here. 2037, they will be in total control, and the fear that you don't want to have people who are a bunch of useless people to be in total control. You want people that are properly skilled, people that are properly capacitated to be in total control of the country. That is the message that we are saying. But indeed, I must indicate to this portfolio committee that the process of amending the NIDA Act, because once again, this legislation on its own is a problem. How it is written, how it is crafted, it causes a lot of confusion. When criticism is raised against the NIDA, everybody neglects that piece of legislation. But it's about time that we point the correct blame to the legislation itself and say that is why it is justifiable for us to engage on amending this legislation to make sure that powers and functions are clarified. Currently, the PYC was dissolved and provinces are exempt from investing in manor community development. There's nothing that we can do about it. They don't have to, by law, they don't have to invest anything because the Act itself is very quiet. When it comes to those issues, the Act is verified on a number of issues other than this of the provinces, and then it has got a concluded mandate to the NIDA. These are the things that you must do, and this is the heaven, the Jerusalem that you must create, but more resources are forthcoming for us to do that. The funding model is really working. We are saying no, the funding model will not assist it. That is why in the package we will present today a business case. We are simply saying to you, this is why we wanted 1 billion. This is how it would have worked. So we are raising that argument against the existing funding model to say this is how a difference can be achieved through a better funding and so on. So if we can present a bit for that, for the last presentation, which is on the business model, we will find answers to say the funding model. In our view, our educated view, does it really help or it doesn't help? I'm saying in short, we don't think so, and we don't even think that it is really sustainable in that regard. CFO, please deal with that question, and then that I would have missed.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thank you, CEO. I'll try and really run through those questions that the CEO did not respond to. There was a question on the number of the board members at the national level and the number of provincial advisory board members vis-à-vis the expenditure that I had presented earlier on. The national board is made up of 7 board members, and through its committees, there are 2 committees that have special members, which is the HR committee, Human Resource Remuneration Committee with 1 specialist, and the Audit Committee with 1 specialist as well. Now that makes it 9 in total if you include the specialist, but the board members are promulgated by the Act as well. The provincial advisory boards are 63, but of those, only 18 are full-time. These are chairs and deputy chairs at provincial level. All others are quality or rather meeting-based, remunerated in terms of how many meetings they attend in a particular financial year. Then there was a question on the salary discrepancies. The honorable member, in relation to the slides that I was speaking to, had correctly identified that there is a 41 million difference on the numbers, but that is not a discrepancy. If you look at the second presentation on slide 4, it does indicate that the 134 million only speaks to the current headcount. In that same slide, there is an indication that the full staff complement funded the 524 million, as I have reflected on this slide here later on. And then there was also a concern, or rather a further engagement, on the question of why are we disclosing the salary being in 2 different ways. We'll speak about project-related and support staff. I think maybe a better way of illustrating this would be to use an example of a manufacturing organization. If you are Coca-Cola, for an example, and you want to know how much it costs you to put together or to produce one can of Coca-Cola, we can even assist you to then know how much it's costing me, how much profit should I need to add in order to make sure that when I invest in producing this product, I even get return on investment. You want to allocate all the direct costs that it costs you to produce that particular item. You have a cost of water, you have a cost of whatever ingredients that you have. But if you only identify those, you will not get to the average cost of how much it costs you to produce one can of Coca-Cola. You need to then account for that labor cost element that produces that particular can of Coca-Cola so that you know how much exactly it costs you to produce this particular can and what are therefore, what should I be then checking for this can so that I'm able to get the proper profit or return on my investment. So basically what we're trying to indicate is that a project for youth development is not only delivered by a provision, let's say in a youth-based project. It's all not only delivered by the cement and the bricks and the sand and the water that is required for these young people to actually, you know, learn to be builders and so forth. The cost of those who train them is also part of the collective cost of how it costs to deliver a particular outcome. So, however, even though I think this is particularly, we are mindful that it remains an employee cost element, which is why we are clearing it up front that this is a salary element. However, it needs to be taken into account when we speak about issues of a deliverable of a particular youth development project. There was also an indication, or rather a need for clarification in terms of the technology that we are using in the presentation that is before members, specifically on the question of administration costs and then overhead costs. These are accounting technologies that are used by various organizations as guided by accounting standards. So, for an example, maybe just to give a broader detail so that members have an appreciation of what exactly goes into overhead, if we're speaking about overhead. In overhead, we find things like telephone costs, things like rentals from our various offices that we have, things like office utilities and cleaning services, things like security, things like repairs and maintenance. Those are the various cost center elements that together are concentrated to make up the overhead cost that you have seen that I presented before you. If you speak about administration costs, in those administration costs, we speak about the costs relating to risk management, communications, and the public relations, costs relating to information technology, costs relating to office consumables and administration, costs relating to audit, both internal and external audit, costs relating to travel and accommodation, costs relating to seminars and training that we offer. So these are the various cost centers that are concentrated to form part of what is then defined as administration costs. Like I said, administration costs, overhead costs, these are accounting terminologies that are used as informed by accounting standards. I think the CEO has covered the special project aspect. As I said initially, this is called special project simply because they are delivered from not what we call your traditional or the normal case or divisions that implement projects. They are led from those two offices that make the reference. There was a question that I noted on the salary and the vacancies and any possible budget allocation relating to that expenditure item that might not utilize in the financial year. Indeed, because we do not have bought for almost the whole of the financial year because the term ended at the end of April, so they were only for 1 month. there should be a saving in that regard, as well as the provincial advisory board whose term has expired at the end of November last year. So there should be some saving elements with regard to that budget. And then I think the question of the funding model, as the CEO has indicated, we don't believe that this current funding model is sustainable. We do not believe that the current funding model can bring about meaningful youth development in this country, which is why, as you indicated, I will be presenting later on the funding case of what we think can work for youth development in this country later on in the presentation. Thank you very much.
Chair, just a few more. I think there was a question that said, how does the absence of a board affect us as the MIPA? I think it's pretty obvious. Yes, it was raised by the member that, yes, that's right. It's really obvious. It's not a very healthy arrangement. You know, the separation of powers is very important in public entities. And with us here, it's not really clear. We have a CEO who is also an acting accounting authority, takes decisions, ratifies those decisions, does everything. At the end of the day, you might be questioned on those basis. It makes life difficult. Sometimes I'm not so sure why I'm in Cape Town. Is it because I'm the chairperson, or is it because I'm the CEO? Why am I attending the launch of programs and all those things? So it's not healthy. We are eagerly looking ahead towards the appointment of a board, so that we can begin to have to focus on the work that we are supposed to be doing and give it 100% attention. But I also think, Chairperson, this is a point that we must raise as we conclude our responses. The issue of the percentage share of the salary cost versus the total allocation, I really think that we are over-harping on that point, and it doesn't find real relevance. It doesn't help the matter moving forward. I think we are overstating its importance, because if you had looked in our presentation that we started presenting, especially the presentation that was done by Mr. Fatsiren, we would have indicated that when the merger happened, there was a directive in the due diligence, which I hope is part of the package, that said to the NYDA, you have got to inherit the people that were employed by the NYC and the UIF. And as you inherit those people, they must not be worse off. They must either be in the same state or be better off in terms of their employment conditions. It's a given in a mathematical formula or a problem to be solved. That is a given to us, so we need to move with that. We have tried to illustrate in terms of the slides that was presented again by Mr. Rapture to say how much we used to spend on salaries before and how much are we currently spending as we are speaking on salaries, and we would realize that the last chunk, it still goes to that inherited situation that we had to address. So that slide, I just can't find it immediately, but it speaks volumes to that problem. I think it's slide number 4, which addresses that. So already you are sitting with this money that you have spent, which you inherit, about 119 million of the people that are already employed, which you can't fire, you can't do anything. So you must then say, as I'm getting more money and I want to employ more people, I must stay over and above. And the Act itself, just to put the salt into the wound, the Act itself says the NIBA is required to employ executive minders. And it says people that must be employed, people that were not necessarily there in the old Umbu and the old MIC. The Act says employ those people. Now, when you employ those people, your budget increases, but quite slightly, as you can see, 119 and 132 million over a period of 3 years. And it's inevitable that you can increase that. So I think, seriously, Chair, we are hammered here over something that really does not take the matter further. But there is another simple solution. If your worry is 40% as a percentage expression, then just put a bit more of money. Make it currently 300 million. If you put 1 billion, this percentage will change drastically. It will be less than 20%. It's a mathematical solution. It will be less than 20%. And then you won't have to worry about 40%. Why 40%? It's not 40% yet.
Chairperson,
just lend myself out with regards to that issue. Because I think day in, day out, year in, year out, we are forced and compelled to speak to that matter, which is a situation that we have inherited, a situation that we are trying by all means to grapple with, and yet we are being hammered every time we try and raise our heads.
Okay. Now, I think the whole objective of this workshop is to try that as members we understand the entity that we are working with. So I'm sure as we get to understand one another more, some of the questions will fall by the wayside, because we understand. Let's go to the last one now. That is the legislation.
The last round will be very brief. It will take us about 15. It will take us about 15 minutes just to gallop. So you are expected to be there already.
Are you going to talk about legislation now?
Yeah, just to highlight it. Just to say to the members of parliament, this is what is applicable in the framework to the NYTA. So, if you are performing your oversight, this is what we think you need to really look at.
In fact, now I remember that you remember a lot of Ramatagana. He raised the question about where the process is around the amendment. And maybe generally part of the answer would be that that process is still with the president. But I don't know if you want to comment on that, or the presentation will speak to that. Okay. The process of the amendment of the NYT.
We'll allow them for the presentation. If they need it, we will then report on it quickly.
I would like to ask follow-up to some of the answers. Just two follow-up questions.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. And thank you, CEO, Chairman, and Honorable Members. I will run through the legislative framework and many processes of the National Youth Development Agency. And really, a number of these policy legislative frameworks have been spoken about. And then I will quickly take you through a snapshot of the performance information, key performance indicators over the past 3 years of the National Youth Development Agency. The Constitution of the Republic of South Africa, as published in 1996 as Act No. 108, does put responsibility on the entire South African government in terms of youth development. And as I said, this was published as early as 1996 because government did identify youth development or lack of as one of the priority areas. And the Constitution mandates government to make available opportunities for youth to access education, skills and employment and other sources of income. I guess this was the reason for the legislations and policy frameworks that then were developed after the Constitution was promulgated in 1996. In terms of governance and administration of the NYTA, the applicable legislation of importance, at least for this engagement, is the PFMA. MIDA is classified as a Schedule 3A public entity, which means it is merely an extension of a government department, which is why we have an executive authority, which is minister in the presidency, and we account or report directly to that minister. So we are not a private entity, we are an extension of the department. I won't go into details of how a Section 3A schedule public entity has to be. I think it suffices that I mentioned that it's an extension of the department, and the accounting authority of the NYDA is the national board of the NYDA, and therefore the CEO is not the accounting authority. And as we mentioned, in terms of governance, and also to be compliant with the PFMA, the absence of the board, for example, that poses a certain level of challenges in terms of accounting when it comes to the end of the year. Allowing me, Chair, I will quickly go into other applicable legislation, pieces of legislation. The National Youth Development Agency is an authorized and registered financial services provider, which is regulated by National Credit Act on its lending activities, just like any other lending entity. On an annual basis, we get assessed as per the requirements of the NBA, and our license can be taken away if we don't abide to these lending principles and rules. And therefore, as one of the requirements of this regulation, the Act seeks to promote a fair and non-discriminatory marketplace for access to consumer credit, and for that purpose to provide for the general regulation of consumer credit and improve standards of consumer information. I think members can go through the other principle, but the message there is that the NYDA lends in the same way as any other lender in South Africa, as regulated by this piece of legislation, which is the National Credit Act No. 34 of 2005. In terms of M&E framework and processes, the CEO and the CFO and the COO have spoken at length about the NYDA Act No. 54 of 2008, which is the founding legislation for the institution, NYDA. I won't go into detail with regards to that, and the copy of the actual Act members have already studied. But if there are any pertinent issues, like the reasons why we're requesting that the Act be amended now, I'm sure those can be debated at a later stage. So the other important piece of legislation is the actual founding Act of the NYDA, which is the NYDA Act No. 54 of 2008, which repeals the existing legislation, which were National Youth Commission Act, as well as the Act that gave rise to the Section 21 company, which was also used back. In terms of the processes of monitoring and evaluation within NYDA, I think the gaps and the areas of improvement the CEO has already mentioned, but I will tell you briefly about the processes and the system that the NYDA follows. Every year, as per the Treasury regulations and the prison contained in the Public Financial Management Act, NYDA, like any other Section 3A public entity, that means an annual performance plan. This is crafted by the executive management of the NYDA, endorsed by the chief executive officer, and ratified by the board before it is submitted to the executive authority to take it through the National Treasury process. When it is approved by the National Treasury process, it comes to Parliament for oversight. So at the beginning of the year, we will present that plan to Parliament, and Parliament will not say no, this is not what you should be doing according to legislation that gives directive to what you should do. After the APP has been approved, then programs and projects are implemented according to that annual performance plan and the available budget that would have been allocated by National Treasury in terms of our grant. Now, within NYDA, the implementing units then, on a regular basis, monthly, submit reports to the M&E unit, which then consolidates those reports to an organizational report monthly. This follows a process which is contained in our M&E framework and system, which was approved by the CEO and the board some 2 years ago. in terms of the process, where does the information collection start, what sort of information is collected, and how is it verified, and how do we ensure that this information will not be disputed by both the internal auditors and the external auditors when the accounting time comes. So there's a certain approved MNE framework and system that is published at NYDA and it's in your pack, I believe. It's available for you to study at your own leisure time. And this is based on all the regulations and rules that are set by National Treasury when it comes to planning and evaluation or monitoring of progress with regards to performance information as per the agreed or pre-agreed upon objective between the entity and the National Treasury. All the information is verified as P or Z using scientifically acceptable methods, but also methods that are accepted by our National Treasury and obviously the oversight institution, which is Parliament. The reports and verification forms are then signed by the respective executive manager, which is each executive manager is head of a program, that's the program we're indicated there. And the ultimate responsibility lies with the respective head of the cluster. After this information, which says we have implemented this, here's the evidence, it comes to the executive manager for retention policy to check it and make sure that indeed what they are saying that's implemented is correct. It then goes to the CEO's office for review and ratification before that report is then collated into three monthly quarterly report for submission to the executive authority. The executive authority then reviews this information, which would be quarterly report, and then is certified, submitted to National Treasury on behalf of the entity that resides within its jurisdiction. So on a quarterly basis, we submit reports, and this report will include non-financial information, that is performance information related to all the indicators that are in the ADP, as well as financial information, before our quarterly tranche is released by National Treasury to the Presidency and to us. In terms of other forms of monitoring and reporting, internally, an internal audit from an independent assessor takes place, that is internal audit, and then at the end of the year, AG evaluates us, either through an agency or an entity that is appointed by them, but that has nothing to do with us. If AG decides to appoint PricewaterhouseCoopers or KPMG, it's their prerogative. We are being audited by Auditor General. They then subcontract one of the institutions that do auditing. So the process flow cycle, it is inside your text, honorable members. It depicts specifically the process that we follow from the time that we agree on indicators up until the time that we have to report on performance. In terms of evaluation, honorable members will remember that not all projects not in all projects and programs can you be able to evaluate results on a monthly basis. So for those projects that require evaluation in periodic points like 6 months or 1 year or 3 years, we do conduct those evaluations for all the projects that are being implemented. And obviously in those instances you'll be looking for impact or at least ultimate outcome in terms of the results of what you would have delivered or what you would have implemented. We conduct those, and in many, where we can, as the entity NYDA, we do those internally, and where we can't, we source service providers who assist us. But where it's critical and we think it's important to have an independent assessor, we do ask independent assessors from outside. For example, we have recently embarked on a process of evaluating the overall country's national youth service program. But because this is not an NYDA function per se, it is a country program that is coordinated by NYDA, as inherited that responsibility from National Youth Commission and also from the Youth Fund. We are evaluating that program with the Public Service Commission. Public Service Commission is leading the process. We are the clients and we are supporting them, precisely because we want the results not to be results that can be disputed by anyone. because they think that there wasn't enough independence in terms of the assessor, because we have been coordinated. Furthermore than that, there are legislative evaluations that are required of the NYDA, as mentioned by the CEO earlier on. There is a statutory requirement of a basis of youth report every 3 years, as per this national legislation, Act No. 54 2008, which was crafted by this House. It expects us, as the NYDA, to conduct an assessment of the status of youth and report on the status of youth as per the areas of importance in terms of youth development that are highlighted in the Act. Craft that report and prepare it for the President of the Republic to table before Parliament after every 3 years. 2012 for the year that we publish that report, and in your text, not published, that we finished crafting the report and presented it to the Executive Authority, but it's still in the process of being approved before it can be tabled before Parliament. It looks at all the issues that pertain to the situation of youth, education and skills, economic participation, social cohesion, health and well-being, and other issues that affect youth. And it does not only assess programs and results of NYDA, but each and every program in the country, be it in the private sector, public sector, or in the NGO sector, and presents a picture in terms of where is youth of South Africa in 2012. So the summary is a yellow book in your pen. You can review it in your own leisure. That's one of the statutory requirements in terms of evaluations or research that informs the evaluation. What do we do with this information? This information, honourable members, is used for decision-making internally in terms of how we reform the program that we implement. So when we conduct a survey, when we conduct an evaluation, when we monitor on a regular basis, we then use the information to inform the program that we implement. We further use the information to lobby and advocate for policy reform in terms of youth development outside of NYDA. These are the issues, and this is how issues can be addressed going forward. For example, we were the first ones to say, having used the information that we gathered together with the University of Cape Town, to say that up until 2037, even before the census results of 2011 were published, we said the youth population in South Africa would persist to be on the last, that is the majority, up until 2037. Only after 2037 that we start seeing the youth powers reducing. So that is the information that we put forward and shared with the National Development Plan when they were crafting, National Development Commission, National Development Commission, so when they were developing the National Development Plan. So that's how we use the information, and the information that we conduct through our annual reports and through our quarterly reports, we then use it to inform the process internally. If I can quickly take you to that slide, it's a page on this, which shows you the performance over the past 3 years. And I'll quickly go through all the... you can read it from there. If you read the first KPI, number of young people active in the mentorship program. And as I said, we selected key indicators of what is expected of the NYDA. In the financial support section, education and skills section, in the NYS section. Indicators that are not so important, for example, in my area, if we have published any research reports, you will not find them there. But indicators that have huge implications in terms of our mandate are what are included there. But in the bigger annual report that you will have, each and every indicator is there. Now, number of young people active in the mentorship program, 2009-10 financial year, we achieved or we performed, and the number of young people was 1,354, 2010-11, 1,000, 2011-12, 1,578. Number of youth undergoing entrepreneurship training, say 2,000, in 2009-10, 16,000 in 2010-11, 22,000 in 2011-12. Value of loans disbursed through microfinance, 25 million, 35 million, 37 million. So even though the resources have constrained NYDA, Honorable Chair, we have tried to still allocate our budget towards those indicators that matter the most, for example, the loan, for example, the training, the skills, the education. And I will go through, I think I don't have to go through all of them, honorable members, but this is a depiction of how we have performed, and this information has been verified and audited by the AG over the past 3 years. And it's exactly what the CEO was saying to you, that at any stage we present information that has been checked and we're confident that it meets the standards that are required in terms of declaring that information to the public as factual. Thank you, Honorable Chair, and thank you for listening, and thank you, CEO.
Thank you, Chair. Over to you. This is time for another question and answer on the subject that is presented. The legislative framework, as well as the organizational component. Another member.
There you are. I know this session after lunch is called the great session, you know. So the entries that we need may not be the same as in the money. Another thing I had noted you earlier.
Thank you, Chairperson.
You can kick off. But before you come in, this was the last session, am I right? Okay. You see,
I think there's one more important session for them. The most important for the NYDA is asking for more funds. Chairperson, I think my question will be more appropriate now than it was earlier on. And I think the NYDA needs to be congratulated for the 3 years of unqualified audits. I think that's very, very good. But, you know, unqualified audits doesn't mean that all is well on the coast of Denmark, because when you read the Auditor General's findings in the annual report, you'll find there are many areas of emphasis of matter. Now, these areas relate to asset management. It relates to not submitting quarterly reports of the budget. It relates to procurement and contract management procedures not being followed. It relates to non-compliance with the National Credit Act. It relates to the fact that you did not reflect your status and registration numbers on credit agreements. And lastly, it relates to the leadership did not exercise adequate oversight responsibility regarding financial reporting and compliance with laws and regulations. Now, these are red flags that the AG's office is raising whilst giving an unqualified audit report. What kind of comfort can you provide to this committee, which has to work with you, that these matters which were identified by the Auditor General and tabled on 6 months ago are being attended to, and these kinds of findings will not appear when the AG scrutinizes your 12-13 financial statements?
You see, honorable thing, when we started in the morning, we said that the purpose of today's meeting is more to generalize, you know, to understand more what is supposed to be done and not. I think the question that you're raising is important, is very important. But if you remember, we had a session with them for the annual report where those questions were raised. Now, I would have loved us to look at general situation as we have been doing, because today's effort was really to understand how does NYDA operate, and certain shortcomings, of course, that have been picked up. And, you know, this session, I don't want to move towards summarizing, because now, I mean, it really assisted me towards summarizing, which I'm not going to do now. So Well, they may respond to this question, but I'd really like us to be more general, not to be on those what we call the questions of the audit report. But I think I'll request you just to summarize what a response but not now. Let's just take a few questions. Honourable members, this is the last round of questions. I've noted Honourable Mfulo. Honourable Salalo, you? Okay, fine. Honourable Mfulo.
Thank you, Chair. I thought that into the last presentation, I'll find out what it's saying in terms of monetary. When I said this, I just see a lot of things. It doesn't say to me, what does the Act say? If one department is not complying, or one institute, or whatever municipality, they are not complying in terms of youth, what needs to happen? And when I look at the Act itself, it's also very tiny, but there is where it says in terms of regulation, it's talking about that there can be regulations made in terms of the Act by the President. What I'm trying to say is to say, why I'm raising this is to say, if you go to a certain department or an agency or whatever, a company, and they are not taking issues of youth serious, it comes, it depends on the mood of the person. There's no way where you can hold that person accountable. Because when I look at the Act, it says nothing. It's very quiet. So I don't know who's supposed to be doing that. Is it us? Or who's dealing with that? And let me just throw it back maybe to the NYA. They must look at it to say, if I'm not doing anything in terms of youth, what is there that makes me, what is forcing me? There's no peace there. That's about monitoring the evaluation. That's what I pick up. And because I can see there are a lot of things, but they don't say anything to say, we, in terms of I can see a lot of laws here and acts. In terms of Public Finance Management Act, we as the youth, if we give another youth money, and that youth does not use the money correctly, what is it? What policy is there that makes us make sure that they're compliant or that money we get back or whatever? Maybe they are there, but I don't see them here. And in Setswana, we are saying, to have to fight to have power, we did a call for Setswana. Okay, I'll explain what I mean. It simply means you must practice what you preach. If you're going to say that we are training the staff in terms of whatever, you must be the one who starts that to pay the principal. I'm just raising this issue because the way some of the response from the CEO were coming, I just get offended. Because even if you deal with people who don't understand or who don't know, you don't just become blunt. You must have a way of saying it. Now if you become blunt, in our culture it means you are rude. Pointless. So I would like that we must preach what if we are going to say about the principle, you must have to ask here. Whether we are wrong or right, your wording must be a respectful will win wording. Okay, sorry, Professor, I won't be blunt, but it allows the older people to be blind, not children. So it's at least I'm older. So those are some of the things that are missing in the Act. And policy, we see that the NYCA itself and programs, like they are having programs, they are reporting, but it's still not clear how do they deal with each other. So I was thinking that I'll see it in terms of that. To say, how do they gel with each other? So that we should challenge them here and say, They are not doing anything. Whatever they've done, but some of the things. Because you can't be perfect in life. So that you are striving to be perfect. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. Any more comments? Okay. That's fine. You want to respond to those few comments and questions?
Yeah, thank you, everything. Sometimes English is a very difficult language. So if we speak in our grandparents, we are not intending to hurt anybody. It's so much crime. But we would like to profusely apologize unconditionally for being banned. But running quickly through the few questions that were asked now, the AG has raised a matter of emphasis despite the fact that we have an unqualified opinion. Just to broaden and generalize for your advice, Chair, it's important to indicate that the matters of emphasis that we would have received in 2009 are not the same as the ones we have received in 2010, and they are not the same with those that were received in 2011. If you look very carefully in terms of the three annual reports, there is significant improvement from the first year until year three, which shows indeed that we do take serious the issues raised by the Auditor General and we work on them. And in the committee meetings normally where we account, we present also a plan of how we respond to those things. So I'm sure members will be comfortable with that. I must also indicate as a complete response to that question to say that this year I tried to indicate to be a difficult year because we have operated for almost the entire financial year without a board. So that was on presenter Quagmire. I'm saying we must anticipate the issues that will arise. But we are hoping that the board will be appointed before the financial year ends so that when we start the next one, at least we start it on a clean slate and we can refocus once again. But we have fought a very good battle. We can promise you that as members of parliament. We have fought a very good battle to ensure that things are in place and they continue in the same mode and speed as we did in the last 3 years. Our final target is to arrive at the point where we are having to say the NYDA has received a clean audit. That's our final target, to say we don't have issues anymore. You know, in the performance information for comfort, it's a clean audit on our part, on the performance information. So on that one, we have excelled, we have mastered that, we have excelled. It's only on financial and administrative issues that we need to pick and end some of the other things. Of course, I think I highlighted earlier on, so when I was responding, that the Act itself is problematic and it doesn't necessarily give any tips for the NYDA to can be biting to those that do not take youth development projects there. There is nothing that we can do in terms of the existing legislation except for us to compile a report, which is what we are busy doing, but it's more of a name and shape report. It's nothing more than that. And we are hoping that it will find expression with the Department of Monitoring and Evaluation Department. But perhaps if we refer that matter to the amendment that we'll be dealing with just now, then we can insert clauses that will ensure that departments comply with what they are supposed to be doing in a strategic development. So it is glaring gap. It exists, it is there. It's a matter of us referring or deferring it to the amendment process that we need to undertake now. Of course, we tried to outline the legislative framework. We also indicated our responsibility to be responsive to the requirements in the National Credit Act, which says it also gives us the responsibility to collect the monies that we have lended, that would have given to young people, and so on and so forth. So our ability to collect basically is controlled, or the requirement itself is controlled by the National Credit Act, that you can't do reckless lending, you need to give people money that will be able to bring back. If you are not giving them, if you are a developmental institution, under what conditions are you going to be doing that? So there is clear principles that are outlining. I think those are the fundamental questions that they asked the chair. Is there something outstanding, Honorable Fuller?
Chair, if I may.
Okay, do you comment?
Chair, I just want to understand from NYDA to say, if I'm a youth organization that's dealing with advocacy, whatever, where do I fit in NYDA? Because I can see now they're funding for SMMEs, whatever. But I don't see something for NGOs that deals with. Remember, NYDA was a combined institution. So those who were actors and those who were corporate, maybe that is the way to distinguish them. Now they are one. Where do we fit in, Tina? I'm an activist, youth activist. Because at this moment I can pick up there's too much corporate. There's no activism. Where are we featuring? Thank you. Or maybe there's still a plan coming because I know when things people are making or companies are making, it takes time to reach other things. Thank you.
Any other question now or comment? So is it the last comment or question? Theo, the other voices that I didn't hear, you know, there are other voices that we don't know whether they are hoarse or what. I don't want to mention names, but some people didn't end their tickets today, you know. Or the bus was too big, I don't know. I see someone is nodding her head that the bus was big, I don't know. So what I would like you to do, you can respond to that question, but also your closing remark. First slide. No, it's the last presentation that I sent. There's a last presentation that we've done. It's very important. Okay. No, I will repeat this. But just to respond to the... Give it a chance, I will present it to you. Give it a chance, I will present it to you. Just to respond to the question, Chair. We are still dealing with issues of advocacy. We have not abandoned them. But it's the same old problem, same old destination. We are selling ourselves to the... We work with NGOs that are dealing with advocacy. An example is that one of two animals under the Cape Town Youth thing. We do that under the sponsorship particular. But two animals are doing that they are not a business. They are an advocacy organization that they deal with education of their siblings in the area. And so on and so forth. So they are very advocacy based as an organization. So we do await requests for funding, sound project proposals, evaluate them on those bases, and then begin to work on those. So we do have our doors are still open, just to be short and brief with regard to that. So I will hasten to ask them, the CFO, to take us through this very important presentation. Without which these trips to Cape Town
computer. We will compel them to speak. At least they must say clever hands. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson and the CEO. I think maybe that view that we should have started here is correct. I think this is a very important presentation for us as the NYDA, because particularly it responds to a question that was raised earlier on by the Honorable Ramaragan of the funding model and its sustainability. The current funding model of the funding arrangement of the NYDA in all honesty set up the institution against the young people of this country. At the current funding arrangement, we are only addressing a drop of an ocean. So I would want to, through you, CEO, maybe take up the honorable members on that issue so that we can have a detailed engagement on this particular aspect, because it is very important for us to make you understand the case that we are putting before you, but as well for you to buy into this case so that can also support this initiative of the need and the request for additional funding. Otherwise, the intended objective of setting up these institutions cannot and will not be realized. So I'll still go through this presentation as quickly as I possibly can. But
no, what we are trying to do with this presentation is to explain to the members of Parliament why we have always been requesting the 1 billion. To answer also to the question that said, is the current funding model assisting and sustainable? This presentation seeks to do that, and we are hoping that by giving you this presentation, you will then have a change of heart and mind, and you will begin to help us lobby for more funds. We know we are in the Appropriations Committee, so we are quite well aware of what we are trying to do.
You're dealing now with the Portfolio Committee on Monitoring and Evaluation in NFTA.
No, thank you. You know, I won't be long, but as well, we have to acknowledge that the processes of the MTA for 13, 14 hours, there are other mechanisms that if you buy into this case that we're putting before you, you can assist us in logging and other things. There is a job fund, for an example. You will see as we speak to how we envisage this funding case move forward, that there are opportunities that you can assist us moving forward. But nevertheless, to try and shorten the presentation, the first slide that's before you basically speaks to the fact that we have some 18.8 million young people in this country. Of course, this presentation will note that it was done in the last calendar year. Now we do have updated information after the census 2011 results came out. But out of that, only about 6.2 million are employed. But the worrying factor is that you will see that there is some 7.6 million young people who are not actively looking for employment and they are not employed. This is mainly according to the data that we used in putting this presentation together, which was put together by an independent consulting company for us, is that mainly these are young women who are found in rural areas. You will find that most of them are dropouts. They don't complete their education, and they are neither looking for a job. They've become housewives, some of them have become single mothers and things like that. We also have about 3.3 million young people who are unemployed, and we have about 1.7 million that are discouraged. We have tried to classify these young people in the various educational attainment categories. We have those that have not finished primary school, we have those that have finished, who have not finished secondary school, and those with matric but with not tertiary qualifications, and those with tertiary qualifications. So basically we are putting the case that says about 68% of this country is made up of people who are younger than 35. And of these young people,
70% of these young people who are of the working age are unemployed. The job creation and formal education struggling is keeping up, is struggling to keep up with the demand, and that we are creating more of a welfare state where young people are becoming dependent of the state instead of them being active participants in the growth of the economy of the country. And we think that they need correctives and changes if we are to set South Africa for a better future moving forward. So we are also seeing that the research that this company did for us indicates that the private sector and other organizations out there, if the substantial amount of investment that is put through in youth development initiatives, it is estimated that some 6.4 billion is spent by corporate and government departments and public, other civil society organizations in the country in relation to youth development. However, the main problem is that this is done in an uncoordinated effort. And because for many organizations, especially in the private sector, it's more of a CSI tick-box exercise, they do mainly awareness campaigns. These are campaigns that do not change the life of a young person for the better. You will find that most organizations will do things like AIDS awareness and things like that. They are investing lots of money in these things, but the impact is very low. So we are saying that also if you look at the structural challenges, that are evident by the fact that the working age population since 2002 has been growing by 0.4% per annum, while the rate of employment has been decreasing by 0.5% per annum. There is a great mismatch, which suggests that a lot of young people are entering the economy world where they're supposed to be either willing or participating in the economy as the entrepreneurs, but the interest is the key. Those opportunities are not available for them to take advantage of. But then we're saying that the NYDA in its current format, you know, with the after the merger and with the inheritance of some experiences of youth development issues coming from the two institutions, the processes and the systems that are in place, it is better placed to address this direct challenge that is facing the youth of this country. And we have classified or rather just indicated that all the products and services that we have seen being presented by the various colleagues earlier on, we have classified them into awareness initiatives, skills and education initiatives, and finance and support initiatives. We're saying that, that those type of products and services, as they are, if we are given or if the institution is funded at appropriate level, they can be a vehicle that can be used by the council to address the challenges. Of course, when we deal with this particular aspect, we do not make an assumption that the NYDA alone can resolve the challenges of young people in the country, but we still believe that if the NYDA is funded correctly to provide that leadership in coordinating efforts of all the stakeholders on youth development, we can be able to make a significant dent to these challenges that is facing young people in the country. We have indicated some of the challenges, the fact that the mandate is so broad. As I've indicated before, either one of two things needs to happen. It's either that the organization or the mandate is funded adequately, or the mandate itself needs to be revised so that the institution is able to meet realistically and can be expected to realistically meet its anticipated mandate as provided for by the Act. We are also saying that, or giving an indication in the next slide, current funding, we think that if the current funding can be moved from 376 million to at least a billion rand per annum, we can then be able to start making significant dents in this fight of against the underdevelopment and underskilling of young people. But I think what is important here is that we are not intending to create a continuous dependency on the national treasury, because as the previous presentation suggested, we are anticipating that the youth population will continue to be the majority of the sector of the entire population up to until at least 2037. So we are intending to create a funding model that is self-sustainable. In this regard, you will see that we are proposing in this slide an accelerated loan book that becomes self-sufficient. This loan book, just to give you an indication of some of the preliminary discussions and commitments that we had with the various stakeholders, in the hope that we won't be able to get the support of this committee and the support of the government at large in ensuring that we fund this all-important mandate correctly, is that we Previously, the former Mzumbuyu Fund used to have a joint funding arrangement with First National Bank. That joint fund is now on its disinvestment stage. We will be concluding it very soon. So what we have done so far is to have the engagement with the management of First National Bank. And First National Bank has, to this point, made a commitment that they are willing to match the NYDA on a rent-to-rent investment on a joint fund, which will be managed by FNB in terms of the distribution and the governance aspects to it. So that that for us is a model that also ensures a return on investment and the ability to collect this fund that will be distributed, because the biggest fund that we have then was very successful. FNB, just to be exact, are willing to put on the table 100 million, which they've already committed on paper, provided that ourselves with the NYDA, we can be able to put another 100 million so to make them a reference. They are willing to invest in the young people of this country. Equally, we have a similar arrangement with business partners who are also on the list. Yes. And also, business partners, which is also another reputable company in the lending business, for many years we also had a relationship with them in the past. They are willing to say that if NYDA can put 150, we'll put a rent for every 150 that we put. So in that regard, they have also committed in writing that should the NYDA be able to raise a 150 million rand, they are going to put 100 million rand. It is part of a fund that will be jointly owned by the NYDA and business partners, which will be targeted at creating a young entrepreneur in that regard. So we are basically saying that, again, the governance model of that funding joint venture that we are proposing, or that we are engagement with the business partner, is also such that the governance aspect of it are dealt with, the day-to-day running of that fund are dealt with by business partners. And like I said, this was also one of the most successful funds that we have had. So the return on investment and the collectability is not in doubt. So we are therefore saying that there is an opportunity to create a youth cohort of entrepreneurs, because if we are serious about growing the economy of this country, the only way we can do that is by growing entrepreneurship. And we're saying that there are these corporate partners or private sector partners who are willing to join hands with government in order to make sure that becomes a reality. We grow the economy of this country and we change the trajectory of the future of this country and change the face of the conditions of young people as we see them today. So we're basically saying that We are resisting and seeking support in making sure that we're able to meet the requirements of SNB, we're able to meet the requirements of business partners, so that we can be able to have this joint fund that we've indicated. The other thing that may be important to indicate is that you will see that this then changes as well the spending pattern. We can be able to invest more on other youth development projects which speaks to education, to the skilling arrangement, an aspect that was raised earlier on. If we can run this correctly with FNB and business partners, the revenues that we can generate from there can be invested in this other streams or areas. And I think in the interest of time, I will go to the next slide, which speaks to the equivalent of the return on investment. The company that has assisted with the data that we have used to compile this information, it uses the model of social return investment, which is used currently by the World Bank, which is basically a multiplier effect of which determines if you invest 100 in an awareness initiative, what is the return on that investment? And we have in that light just indicated that if we are funded as per our request, in a period of 5 years, some 150,000 young people can be able to receive awareness targeted initiatives, and the outcome of that, rather, if we invest 150 million in awareness campaigns in the next 5 years, some 4.6 million young people will be impacted in terms of awareness initiatives that speaks to developing them in some way or the other. And the return on social investment for that investment of 150 million will be 158 million. And for skills and education, if we have 678 million, we can meaningfully change the lives of some 745,000 young people, and the return on investment on that will be some 1.6 billion rand social as a return on that supply investment. For those young people that will support through finance, either funding or non-financial support, but that are within the financing space or within the entrepreneurship space, if we invest 1.5 billion rand, some 221,000 young people can be effectively incorporated into the entrepreneurship development space of this country with a return of over 6.7 billion rand in terms of what we would have invested in creating these entrepreneurs. These are the effects of these young people improving their own livelihood, improving the livelihoods of their both families, but also improving the livelihoods of the communities in which they will be operating or doing business with, which will also speak to addressing social challenges that we are facing as a country. Just to conclude with the last slide, which basically speaks to the current situation that we're faced with. With NYDA's current funding and the uncoordinated intervention of youth development, which is done by private sector organizations and other civil society organizations, we are only able to impact in a high impact that changes the young person's life, that makes this young person to either find employment or to enter into the entrepreneurship space and be successful. We are only impacting 8% of the total population of young people that require our intervention, as the NYDA or the young people that require assistance or intervention. And then some 24% of young people who are in dire need of assistance in order to improve their lives do not receive a single intervention either from the government or the private sector. So this is a source for concern, because that entire contingent that which represents 44% of the total population of young people are young people who can be said to be hopeless and with no one who is coming to their rescue. And in terms of low impact initiatives, which is the outcome of the somewhat 6.1 billion that I've spoken to, which the private sector is currently investing, and some small interventions that the NYDA is doing and other government departments, only about 44% of young people are receiving some awareness campaign that does not materially change their conditions for the better. But we're saying that if we can embark on the course that we're proposing before you today, there is a possibility and a potential to ensure that the total youth market that is out there that requires intervention, at least 70% of it in the next 5 years, can get meaningful youth developmental initiatives and programs that can change their lives for the better, to ensure that they at least are able to gain employment or they are able to start their own business which becomes successful. And we're saying that the potential of through a coordinated effort with all other stakeholders of ensuring that every single young person who requires the intervention to change their material conditions can be reached in the next 5 years. So I think in short and very, very briefly and in a compromised way, that is the presentation that we are making before you.
Chair, this presentation is a presentation that was prepared earlier, and since then many developments or opportunities have presented themselves. You would have noticed that this proposal of 1 billion does not include the green economy program that we have also proposed, which requires to the tune of 5.7 billion, which will create 320,000 jobs for young people over the years, and more than 2,000 enterprises that are green-based. That one program that is not included there. But there's also another one initiated by the Gauteng provincial government. They are MDT called Gauteng Partnership Fund, who are into rental stock in terms of property development. So we've come to the NYDA and they said, we want young people to participate in the rental stock ownership. But they wanted my day to put something on the table. I think they were proposing a total investment of about 100 million, where the NYT will be required to put how much? And then?
$100 million from the GDF, and then the 6% on top of that will come with National Housing Foundation.
the total fund would have been 100 million. And then 60% of that money was going to come from NHLC, and 35% was going to come from the GPF, and 5% would have been extracted from the National Youth Development Agency. So these are opportunities that would have over and above this when we prepared this, but they tried to justify why we want the 1 billion opportunities that have presented themselves later on.
That's imagining my first one saying to me, when I'm very drowsy, "Daddy, I want to buy you a car if you do 1, 2, 3. I don't even hear what I'm supposed to do, but I must agree, you know. I don't know if another members you want to comment, but I wanted to suggest a way of thing. Basically going to joke that I made, but I think CEO, this is a very important presentation. But if we treat it the way we're going to treat it now, I don't know if we it will achieve the goals that we would expect, because I guess there's not a lot of now appetite to engage on this. But from the if the proper presentation is in the documentation, not the slide, proper presentation, I think that it would help. For me, as you said at the beginning, you want to give us a taste of what you want to come. I think that it's not a problem. But I wanted to suggest another thing, another member, that let's have a proper, what we call the presentation, and proper discussion. I don't think that it's serious just to say, now go, then we'll think about it. I think for us, it's more serious. We want to treat it with that seriousness it deserves. So let's just arrange another, what we call the CEO and myself for your office and stuff. A proper meeting, we discuss this presentation only, and nothing else. And then, because after that I was thinking just as an individual about maybe some alternative, we don't want to do that. Let's have a proper meeting and deal with it. Well, it's up to you if you want at their offices and something pretty there. You're not going to get lost.
Chairperson, I think it's very laudable if private sector funding can be leveraged through these projects. And they're talking about 100 million and other men, and that's very good. And you know, this money, as far as I'm concerned, is available in Damascus. But it's residing in many departments. And then what we need is a multi-stakeholder engagement. With the minister and a few other stakeholders. Because, you know, if money can be top-fived from all departments to focus on youth development, then we're going to sort our generation's problems out, you know. But it requires a deeper engagement rather than just looking at these figures. And I think we need to apply our minds to who those stakeholders would be so that we can collectively put a convincing case to the Treasury Committee, MinCombat Minister's Committee on the Budget, to take this matter forward. But it requires a multi-stakeholder engagement, in-depth engagement.
The other advice I want to give you is that I mean, you working with appropriation, and I think that you must know that in future, the better time to target for new programs is not now. Now the horse has almost bolted now. The better time is during the MTVPS. That is the best time to deal with the new initiatives and proposals for new money. Now, it would be very, very, what you call it, difficult, for instance, to come up with a totally new
proposal that has not been proposed, but if the proposal comes in during this time of the MTBBF, that's why we have the Money Bill Act. But now I can tell you that 80-90% of the work of the budget has been done. Yeah, now it's difficult to... But the members, I take it serious that they say they want us to arrange a day, maybe at your offices. We engage on this proposal. It may not necessarily be for implementation now, but just to get an understanding and so that we can as well apply for own article. Sorry? I didn't hear that. I don't know if the ODM at this stage you're ready to give your parting shot.
No. Thank you very much, Chairperson, and the members of the portfolio committee for according us time today so that we can try and take you confidence with regards to the work of the NYDA. And I must say today, you have been listening to us quite attentively. I know you will find time to digest the things. That last presentation was not really a request today. Today it was just to show members that this is what we think about how things are to be done. But of course, we are still going to meet in Johannesburg where we will do that. We take that intellect very serious and we'll make sure that it actually happens. I just wanted to say, I'm glad that you are beginning to give us advices on when to time our submissions and all that, but also to indicate to you that we have been submitting this since day one when we're making noise about 1 billion, 1 billion. But I think the problem is that it was landing in the wrong hands and didn't find the proper expression. A typical example is just to report to this committee that in terms of the Act, the NYDA, and particularly the President, is required to have an IIDF adopted, which was compiled and submitted, but it was before even the MDP process started. But until the very day, the IIDF is not adopted, and we're hoping for indulgence also with regards to that, so that we can do these things as fast as we can. It contains also some important information, but we felt we can't share it because it's still in a draft form. But yes, we are quite happy with the opportunity that was presented before us. We feel much more empowered as we live today. We hope that as we continue engaging, we'll just have to remind each other about, no, but that the policy says, that law says, and all those things. But otherwise, we think we have found some common ground.
Thank you very much. But that's from our side, just to indicate quite a few points, but I'll be very quick. One is the, I think let's try to take our relationship a bit more serious. In that seriousness will reflect in your mandate. The background that you gave in terms of your mandate, your KTA. For instance, someone asked whether the KTAs are programmatic or what. I think that, honourable members, we do still need to engage on this so that the CEO was saying, for instance, if you have 4 people across 19,000 or so, yes, you will sleep well because we have helped someone. But I think what is important to me is the image of the NYTA. The issue that Ms. Fanamelo was raising earlier and we're raising, but when I listen to the discussion about NYTA, you don't get that positiveness out. It doesn't matter how many people you have helped, but if those people are not able to also to respond to those, the assumption is that NYTA is a white elephant. But we are the committee that is supposed to be working with you. I would like to to support NYDA. I think that together we must work up strategies to ensure that everyone out there understands NYDA for what we want it to be or for what it is doing. Secondly, is the issue of the, in our day you gave us an important report on the youth report. You also speaking about the IYDS. And you did indicate the last time that you have made a submission to the president. But I think that, honourable members, we really need to have a program where you are able to present to us, so that this work must not only be known by this committee between yourselves and us within this room. It must be something that you must be able to go to the House and report on what you are doing. So it is important so that the other youth skeptics about NYDA out there could criticize you, but they know that there is something that you are doing. And the people understand what is contained in this youth report and the other departments, I think that it will be very important. In fact, I just want to link back to the Section 7 of the Act that was raised earlier by, I think that you must also admit that in the time that you have been in existence, you have not yet reached the stage of implementing that Section 7 of the Act, which says the state organ must do 1, 2, 3. They must report on this or not. You have not taken them on that. And you can't do it alone. You can only do it with a committee. That kind of work. We must together find a way that how do you deal with this work, with these issues. That's one thing which I think that is important. But one thing that today, maybe the second last thing that today we want to make an observation about, that we have not, that we need to pay attention to. The issue of the loan. You did report to us the status of your loan book. It's what? And I'm not sure if that status of the loan book takes into account your constituency, the state of your constituency, or it assumes that you are dealing with people that are working, who have got, who are able to give, make some guarantees for what. But my understanding of your constituency is that you work, your constituency is a poor constituency. And if the basis of them accessing the loans, it defeats the whole purpose of this government, of the objective of this government of creating a developmental state. It means that that youth will never participate because they will not have what you call it. But together we must again find a way that how do we ensure that the youth can access this your development finance, let's call it. It's not as, what is the difference between NYDA and Standard Bank or FNB? Is it one and the same thing? But where can we show that difference that you are a developmental institution created by government, not with the objectives of creating profit and whatnot, but to develop a particular constituency? I think those are the issues that we also need to look at. But just the last thing is the issue of the board. From our side, I think we try, we're working my time is short sometimes. We relentlessly, to try to ensure that there is a board soon. I think that some of the members would notice that there is no longer a board, not even a provincial board now. NYDA exists in, I don't want to, somebody, but I think that there is a challenge So from our side, we're doing everything to ensure that this this matter is treated with the urgency it deserves. The National Assembly did pass the names that were recommended. Now the names are stuck with the NCOP because the NCOP think there are people who are challenging. We have come up with certain challenges. We also try with all those issues so that we can make, so the NCOP can make a recommendation to the president, for the president to appoint. It is totally unacceptable that now, it's almost a year now since those interviews were made, but without appointing. I think that one of them is, I think those are the observations that we can say we are putting up to you. I would really like to, if I had the power, I'll have this board appointed. The CEO was wishing that by the end of this financial year, I would have it appointed by then. But you're doing something, you're not sitting about it, because it's not only making your work difficult, it's making our own job difficult. Because we'd like an YPA to have this authority, executive authority. It must be there. So on that note, I would really like to thank all of you for having taken the time, especially the members. The members are still on the constituency period. But they have made it a point that they come here. And I think that is good that at this early stage, whilst we're still fresh, we had this presentation. But we're looking forward to a better relationship this year. Thank you very much. The meeting stands also. Thank you. Is it 10 o'clock tomorrow? Is that fine? Can you make it 10 tomorrow? Yeah.